Madam President, the distinguished leader has put us into executive session to bring up some judicial nominees. And in my capacity, both as the senator from Vermont, but also as the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, I'd like to speak on these just briefly. We're going to be confirming two more nominations. These are, of course, as the distinguished presiding officer, an attorney in her own right and with a distinguished background as a prosecutor in Minnesota prior to being here, as she knows, these are lifetime appointments. The two are William Lawrence, nominated to a vacancy in the Southern District of Indiana, and Murray Snow, nominated to a vacancy in the District of Arizona. We were able to schedule first a committee action and able to move it very quickly in the committee, and now Senate action. I mention the speed of these because both are being expedited for confirmation in a presidential election year. But you know, when I go back home to Vermont, as I did this past weekend, as I will this weekend, I find that Vermonters, and I suspect this is so with all Americans, they're not really concerned about judicial nominations. I have not had anybody come up to me when I'm coming out of church or walking through the grocery store or gassing up my car. I've not had anybody come up to me and say, we need more judicial nominations. What they are concerned about are gas prices. They've skyrocketed so high. They don't know how they're going to be afford to drive to work. I've talked to parents of children in our rural parts of our state where there's no mass transportation, never will be. They have to bring their children to school. Both mother and father are working. They didn't have to drive to work. These are not high-paying jobs. Drive back, get their children. They have to take care of, one couple have to take care of elderly parents. And they're wondering how they can afford to do it with these gas prices. They're far more concerned about that than they are at lifetime appointments to our federal bench. They're worried about rising health insurance costs. They're worried about the rising cost of education. They're worried about rising food prices, long before they're worried about the number of federal judges being confirmed. Let me talk about the front page of the Wall Street Journal. This is the front page of the Wall Street Journal. It says consumer confidence plummets. That's a pretty dire headline, consumer confidence plummets. And then look what's in the next line, home prices see sharp decline. Of course, people feel their confidence in the economy going down. And then in case you don't get it, they've got a graph. And the graph is titled, In a Free Fall. It shows housing prices in April down more than 15% from a year ago, consumer confidence at the lowest level in nearly 20 years. According to the Wall Street Journal, the number of Americans saying they intend to buy a home in the next 6 months is at a 25-year low. Consumers' expectations of the economy over the next 6 months is the lowest it's ever been in the more than 40 years they've kept track. The lowest it has ever been, 40 years. Unfortunately, the bad economic news for hardworking Americans is nothing new under the Bush-Cheney administration. During his administration, President Bush and all Americans have seen unemployment rise more than 20%. The trillions of dollars in budget surplus, which he inherited from President Clinton's administration, they've seen that turn into trillions of dollars of debt. An annual budget deficit of hundreds of billions of dollars. These are the numbers Americans care about. Not a few nominees are getting the honor of a judicial appointment, lifetime tenure, and a respected job that pays nearly $200,000 a year. Of course, We don't hear about these numbers. We don't hear about the free fall in home prices. We don't hear about the free fall consumer confidence index from the other side. We don't hear about the Bush deficits, which have brought the value of a dollar down almost in half. Incidentally, we buy our oil with dollars. You don't have to be an economist to realize if your dollar is worth only half of what it used to be, then you're going to pay twice as much for oil. But we don't hear about these numbers, as terrible as they are, and as much as they affect real people in Minnesota and Vermont and elsewhere. The only numbers we hear about from the other side of the aisle are the number of nominees they insist must be considered by a certain date to reach some mythical average number. The only numbers we hear are not the American people are losing their homes, not the American people are losing their jobs, not the American people can't afford to bring their children to school, not the American people can't afford to put groceries on the table, not the American people who can't afford to gas up their car so they can go to work. All we hear about from them are some number of judges that have to be given lifetime appointments, jobs to pay for the rest of their lives, hundreds of thousands of dollars. Let's take a look at the charts. History is clear. Democrats reversed course on judicial vacancies from the days during which the Republican Senate majority more than doubled them. We've already lowered the 32 circuit court vacancies that existed when I became chairman. When I became chairman of the Judiciary Committee in the summer of 2001, we had 32 vacancies. We've lowered it to 9. Why? Because the Democrats didn't pocket filibuster 60 judges, as the Republicans did to a Democratic president. We treated President Bush's nominees with a lot more respect than they treated President Clinton's. But we also treated the whole federal judiciary system with a great deal more respect. This is, after all, a third independent branch of government. It is the one branch that should be devoid of politics. It's the one branch that should be able to step aside from this. It's the one branch where you leave your political affiliations at the doors. In fact, this is the first time we've hit single digits in decades during the Republican, certainly since the Republican tactics of slowing judicial confirmation began in earnest in 96. These are critical pieces of legislation. I mention those ones, Madam President, because those are the priorities that not special interest groups have, but real Americans have. Urgent priorities, like the energy crisis, the environment, and voting rights, and health care, and fair wages for working men and women. All of them had a support of the majority of the Senate. All were blocked by a minority of Republican senators who filibustered them. In fact, the list would be even longer if we were to include the many important bills President Bush has vetoed since the beginning of this Congress. And that list includes legislation to fund stem cell research to fight debilitating and deadly diseases like Parkinson, multiple sclerosis, diabetes, to extend and expand the successful state children's health insurance program that would have provided health insurance to more than millions of American children who are without it in the wealthiest, most powerful nation on earth. It would have set a timetable for bringing American troops home from the disastrous war in Iraq. After all, we've been there longer than we were in World War II. And they would have allowed us to ban waterboarding and thus help restore America as a beacon for the rule of law. And their effort to turn attention from the real issues facing Americans to win partisan political points by the judicial nomination, it's just another in a long line of tactics we have seen that prevented us from making progress since the beginning of this Congress. On these two nominees, I congratulate the nominees and their families on their confirmation today. These nominees have good reason to be proud. I predict they'll be confirmed unanimously, and I am proud of them because the federal judiciary is the one arm of our government. It should never be political or politicized, regardless of who sits in the White House. So let's stop using this question of judges as some kind of an issue and trying to distort the fact President Bush, the Democrats in the Senate, treated him far better than the Republicans treated President Clinton on judges. Let's get back, talk about the things that Americans really care about, their jobs, their homes, their children, cost of gas and oil. So I'll continue in this Congress. I'll be here in January with a new president in the next Congress to work with senators from both sides of the aisle to ensure that the federal judiciary remains independent and this real jewel in jurisprudence be able to provide justice for all Americans, as they say in their oath of office, without fear or favor.